As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hi folks, welcome to another episode of the Athletic FPL podcast. I'm Mark McGettigan, you'll find me on Twitter at FPL General. Game week 14 is done and dusted, and it's another quick turnaround with the game week 15 deadline on Saturday at 11 a.m. UK time. On today's episode, I'll run through the game week 14 headlines, do a quick game week review, update the watch list, answer questions from Twitter, and discuss game week 15 captaincy and transfers. If you'd like to become an Athletic subscriber, which I recommend doing so, visit theathletic.com/FPL pod to avail of the latest discount for new subscribers. The Game Week 14 headlines. Callum Wilson and Timo Pukki were on the score sheet on Tuesday night as Newcastle and Norwich played out a 1-1 draw. Rafinha scored a very late penalty to seal all 3 points for Leeds against Crystal Palace. James Maddison scored for the second game in succession to pique the interest of FPL managers. Mason Mount got a goal and an assist in Chelsea's 2-1 win at Watford. Reece James missed out completely. Dennis the Menace made it 6 goals and 6 assists for the season to become the second highest scoring forward in the game behind Jamie Vardy. Mikel Antonio blanked again and picked up a 96th minute yellow card to rub salt in the wounds. Tarek Lamptey came off the bench to grab an assist for Mopai's spectacular goal. Wolves and Burnley finished 0-0, which was quite predictable. Manchester City beat Aston Villa 2-1. Ruben Dias and Bernardo Silva the goal scorers for City, while Ollie Watkins made it 3 in his last 5 to throw his hat in the ring for inclusion in our forward lines. Mohamed Salah did what Mohamed Salah does, scoring another 2 goals in the 4-1 Merseyside derby victory for Liverpool. Diogo Jota was on the score sheet too, while Andy Robertson picked up 2 assists. Heung-min Son and Sergio Reguilon were in the points in Tottenham's 2-0 win over Brentford, but it was yet another blank for Harry Kane. Cristiano Ronaldo scored twice to help Manchester United on their way to victory at home to Arsenal, one of which was from the penalty spot, so it looks like Ronaldo might be on penalties now. And Smith Rowe scored a bizarre goal in that game to bring his tally to 5 for the season. The Game Week 14 shoutouts. I am absolutely delighted to welcome 2 new members to the 59th Minute Club. First of all, Trevor Shalaba from Chelsea, 59 minutes, picked up an injury and got himself just 1 point. And also, this is my favourite one, Ashley Young from Aston Villa. He didn't start the game, but he did come on and he got 59 minutes from the bench for a 1-pointer. They're my favourite kind of 59-minute appearances. So keep an eye on the clocks, as always, at the weekends. A couple of notable mentions, not too many this week. Ademola Lookman at Everton just about made it to 60 minutes. Smith Rowe scored, but he was taken off after 69 minutes. Probably nothing to worry about there, really. Chris Woods and Solomon Rondon were dicing with death, both of them 58 minutes. So very, very close to the dreaded shout out. A quick review of how the game week went for me. With the free transfer, I went through with a plan and I got rid of Ben White and I brought in Alonso. I had a decision to make. Do I sell Ben White or do I sell Livramento? And in the end, I just kept Livramento because he's a bit of a legend and he's got more attack and threat than Ben White. The fact that I had Ramsdale in goal played into my thinking as well. I wasn't overly keen on the Arsenal double up, even though that cheap defender is going to be on my bench most weeks. So hopefully Livramento can continue to do the business. Although I'm quite tempted at some point to upgrade Livramento and go with five big defenders. In terms of points, I scored 67, which gave me the tiniest of green arrows. I started the game week at 27k. I'm still at 27k. I think I went up maybe 500 or 600 places, but I always felt the midweek game week, and quite often is the case with midweek game weeks, it's all about survival. So if you can come away with a small green or a small red, it's absolutely fine. The only points came from midfielders. I think that was the case for a lot of managers this week. 30 for Captain Salah. Jota chipped in with 8. Good to see Heung-Min Son on the score sheet. He also scored 8. It was actually 3 8s in midfield because Rafinha scored the same. So very late penalty for Rafinha. I think us owners have to admit we were pretty fortunate to get those points. And I think his time is probably getting short in my squad. I'm happy to keep him for the Brentford game, but then the Leeds fixtures turn pretty nasty. So I can see myself losing Rafinha soon and maybe going back to him in, you know, when them fixtures are passed. The bad blanks for Ramsdale, although he did his best. I think he got 7 saves, wasn't too far away from the bonus points. I thought I was going to get a penalty save out of him for the Ronaldo one. I was actually hoovering the house and I had the game on in the background and I switched off the hoover. Yeah, and I was mixed emotions as a Manchester United fan. You want Ronaldo to score, but you're thinking if he misses this, I don't mind too much because I'm going to get the Ramsdale save points and probably bonus points. So one of those moments, Ronaldo scored and I just went straight back to the hoovering. I did a bit of a celebration, but yeah, the hoovering was more important at that point. At least that's what I was being told. So blank for Ramsdale. Also, all defenders blank. Trent, Cancelo, Alonso. Reece James didn't play. I got Josh King off the bench for a 2-pointer. Strikers, as usual, Antonio, Tony and King got absolutely nothing. I'm looking at my team this week. I've currently got it set up in a 5-4-1 formation. I don't even want to play a striker. I've got King and Antonio on the bench at the moment. And if I could put Tony there as well, I probably would and play a 5-5-0 formation. In terms of a watch list update, the players removed. First of all, Gundogan, because he didn't feature. I'll add him back to the watch list as soon as he's fit again or if Pep gives a positive update on him in the press conference on Friday. Jimenez is gone also. Wolves have got a tricky run of fixtures coming up now and he's just not doing enough for his price tag. And Harry Kane is gone from the watch list for obvious reasons. Go and look at his points for the season. I think it's only one game week out of 13, 14 that he's actually got points. It's 2-pointers across the board elsewhere and he's what, 12.3 million. So absolutely no interest in Kane at the moment. I'm hoping that Son will continue to get the goals and that he'll outscore Harry Kane. Players added to the watch list. Ruben Dias is back on it. I've got Cancelo, but I'm open to the idea of going back to the double Manchester City defence. Like I mentioned earlier, if I upgrade Livramento in the near future, Dias is in the running for that position for a very strong back five. James Maddison is on the watch list for the first time this season. Back-to-back 10-pointers, 10-plus. I think got 16 points and then a 10-pointer. So 26 points over the last two game weeks. And what I like most about Maddison was his comments on Match of the Day about how he was struggling for confidence at the start of the season. I think Rodgers might have said something similar, but he's playing with confidence now. And I always think that's very, very important for FPL. He was even reading off his own stats on Match of the Day. So maybe he's doing the FPL research that all of us are as well. So Maddison, I think he's a decent option. Leicester, I just don't know if I'm ready to trust them just yet, but it was a good result for them at the weekend. Bernardo Silva, first time he's been added to the watch list. He probably should have been there a couple of weeks ago. I think he's the go-to Man City attacker now. He's just continues to do it, very consistent, playing 90 minutes every week. And most of all, he's very, very affordable. So Foden and Gundogan have slight question marks over fitness. And until they're back and fully fit, I think Bernardo Silva is a pretty good pick. I think a lot of people will buy him this week. Smith Rowe added back to the watch list, removed him a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I still don't think there's too much between him and Conor Gallagher. I think it's probably a lot closer now after the most recent game week, given that Smith Rowe scored and Gallagher didn't. So yeah, five goals for, what was he, 5.5 million to start the season. If you got him at 5.5, you've done really well and you're probably looking to hold on to him in that case. But I think he's up to about 6 million now. Still very good value for the points that he is producing. And finally, I own Josh King, but I had no choice but to add Dennis to the watch list after another excellent performance. So yeah, really, really cheap. Second highest scoring forward in the game. And there's a question, I think, on Dennis versus Josh King later. So I will come back to him. But I think we've all got to tip our hat to Emmanuel Dennis on a sensational start to the season. 6 goals and 6 assists. And you know what? About 5 million is ridiculous.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Moving on now to the questions from Twitter. The first one this week is from FPL Mall. With most premium defenders getting 2 points or less this game week, is big at the back no more? So this is a typical, I think, knee-jerk question from not just FPL Mall. I'm sure a lot of people have, you know, the same thing has crossed their mind this week. When you see all your 6 million defenders getting 2 points or 1 point, you ask yourself, do I want to move my cash again? But, you know, I would never react after just one game week. Look at the whole season. Look at how well these premium defenders have been performing over the first 14 game weeks. You know, don't judge them on just one midweek game week. And, you know, midweek game weeks are often a bit tricky and anything can happen in those when there's a bit of rotation. So I've got unwavering faith at the moment in the premium defenders. I've got 4 at the minute. I'm open to getting a 5th one. So that tells you all you need to know there. So yeah, don't worry about the blanks midweek. Once the weekend rolls around, you know, those guys, Trent, Cancelo, Alonso, they could all be getting big points again. So I would say stick with it for the time being. Question from FPL Cam. What are your thoughts on Alonso now? Is his bad performance yesterday a bad sign for the near future for his owner? So Chelsea weren't great against Watford. Watford were impressive again going forward. I think Watford came out on top for XG in that game. And Thomas Tuchel said after the game that it wasn't a good performance and Chelsea were very lucky to win the game. So it was good to see him being honest about that. But again, just a blip, I think. I expect Chelsea to be back at it this weekend. And I've got no concerns over Alonso, having just brought him in. Again, just one game week of information. Frustrating to see him. I think he got a yellow card to get a 1-pointer. But again, Alonso could easily go out of the weekend and score 10 to 15 points. So, you know, thinking back to the highlights from that Chelsea game, the 2 goals that Chelsea scored, the first one, Alonso was in the box. He played to Havertz and then Havertz played it to Mount. And Havertz could have easily taken a shot on there. So we could have been looking at an Alonso assist there. And the second goal as well, Alonso assisted the assister on both occasions. So he was heavily involved in the attack and play. So absolutely do not sell Alonso yet. Question from FPL Brooklyn. What to do with Harry Kane? Should we switch to Ronaldo for United's great run or downgrade to be able to spread the cash around more? So yeah, I'm still in the camp of that we don't really need the big strikers, certainly not Kane. Ronaldo, good performance getting 2 goals, and Lukaku's back in action very soon as well in terms of starting. So, but again, I'm not in a huge rush for Ronaldo. I think I'm quite happy the way my cash is spread around the squad. I like having lots of the good defenders. I like that midfield at the weekend that did well. You know, Salah, Jota, Rafinha, and Son. And when you've got that midfield and big defenders, it's quite hard to fit in a premium striker. So I'm not in a rush to do it, but I am probably going to bank a transfer this week to keep the option open for myself to get Ronaldo for the following game week. It's Crystal Palace this week for Ronaldo, which I think is a tricky fixture, although I don't think Crystal Palace are as strong without Anderson and MacArthur. I think that's had a big impact on them in recent games. Another reason I'm not in a rush to get Ronaldo was watching him in the last 5 minutes of the game. He was absolutely knackered. Hopefully there's not an injury there, but there was a couple of occasions where, I mean, he was on a hat-trick and there was counter-attacks and he could have sprinted into the box, but he decided to come wide. I think he knew he was going to be substituted anyway, or he wanted to be substituted, and he didn't burst to get into the box. He did it on one occasion, but it took him a long time to get there, and he was absolutely puffing at the end of it. So there's still always rotation risk with Ronaldo. Given his age, he's clearly not as fit as he has been before. Obviously, he's an unbelievably fit human being, but to play 90 minutes during December in every Premier League game, it's probably not going to happen. So I'm happy to wait on Ronaldo for now, but as many people have highlighted, from game week 16 onwards, which is Norwich, there's a very nice run coming up for Manchester United, and it'll be interesting to see how they do under the new manager as well. So Ronaldo is in my thoughts. He's probably the premium striker now at the top of the pecking order over Kane and Lukaku. And yeah, going to bank a transfer this week, most likely, to keep the option open for a switch to Ronaldo for the Norwich game in game week 16. And certainly if I had Kane, time to let him go. Just money not well spent. You know, there's couple of decent chances in that game against Brentford, but you know, one of them in particular, straight at the goalkeeper, Harry Kane of old, those are the situations where he sticks it in the back of the net in his sleep. So just not the player this season that he has been in previous. Hopefully he will be at some point this season, but at the moment I think you're better either going to Ronaldo or downgrading him and using your cash elsewhere. Question from Partho Mustafa. Given Manchester City's fixtures, which players should we be considering bringing in? So yeah, number one obviously is Cancelo. I think Bernardo Silva is probably the midfielder to go for in the short term until Foden and Gundogan are 100% fit again. And given how good the fixtures are, what you could do is go Bernardo Silva this week, and then next week or the week after, you could double up. You could get a Gundogan or a Foden in beside Bernardo Silva, along with Cancelo for the Man City triple up. I also like a triple up with Cancelo, Diaz and the Man City midfielder. You know, you can take your pick from the midfielders. I think Foden, Gundogan and Bernardo Silva, there's not a huge amount in it, and it's quite unpredictable in a Manchester City attack who's going to get the goals. And I don't think we should discount Gabriel Jesus either. He's got a lot of minutes so far this season, and he's got a decent amount of attack and returns. So given that there's still not a huge amount of strikers to choose from, you know, December is the month of Jesus, so maybe there's no better time to bring in Gabriel. Question from Josh. Dennis or King? And given that the question comes from a Josh, my answer is going to be Josh King. So yeah, Dennis versus King. For those who don't have a Watford striker, again, FPL is a funny game. If you said to me at the start of the season, in December, we would be hotly debating which Watford striker to buy, I would have laughed at you. So that's the state of affairs we're in. I brought in Josh King, very happy to own him. I still think I would buy Josh King this week over Dennis. I like that King has penalties. There's uncertainty over the African Cup of Nations. Number one, whether it's going to go ahead. And number two, whether Dennis will be called up by Nigeria or not. I had a quick look into it, and I don't think he's been in the recent Nigeria squads. But given how well he's playing, surely there's a very high chance that he'll get a call up for that. So long term, King is safer, because when you get to January, Dennis could be heading off, and that's a bit of a headache, an unnecessary headache. And again, I think the penalties is a big factor for Josh King as well. And underlying statistics, I looked at it last week and Josh King's were much better. So yeah, King for me, but I think Dennis is a totally good option to buy this week. It comes down to personal preference, really. But yeah, African Cup of Nations and penalties probably swings it in King's favour for me. Question from Sean Henderson. What to do with Antonio? Hold or sell? This question gets asked every single week. Sean is thinking Ollie Watkins as a replacement. I like that. I think Ollie Watkins has looked really sharp in recent game weeks. He's doing well under Steven Gerrard. 3 goals in 5. There is a couple of tricky fixtures. I think there's 2 very difficult fixtures for Villa in the next 5. But either side of that, the fixtures are really good. And Watkins has really showed that he can score against the big teams, getting that goal against Manchester City. So I think Ollie Watkins is right up there now as one of the best cheap forwards to go for. Antonio, yeah, I seen a tweet this morning. It was an interesting one about points being noise. You know, just because Antonio hasn't scored points for a long time doesn't mean you should sell him, because he's got good fixtures coming up. You know, points are gone. Whatever's happened in the past, we can't change it. And we should always be looking forward rather than back. And we should draw a clean slate with each new game week. And we shouldn't really care about what Antonio has or hasn't done. If you're a fixtures manager like me, if you look at Antonio, who we know is a good player, we know West Ham are a good team, and if they've got good fixtures, maybe that's when Antonio's going to come back into form. So it's a tricky one. And at the moment, I still don't think Antonio is the weakest link in my squad. But at the same time, if you think there's better options out there and you want to free up a bit of cash, I think that's the main argument for selling Antonio. You can sell him. He's about 8 million. And you can get a 6 million striker, which you might get similar points from over the next few weeks. And then you can invest the savings elsewhere. I think there's a very strong argument for that. The other options, I like Watkins. Callum Wilson. Last week was probably the time to buy Callum Wilson, though, to get the 2 good fixtures out of him. I think it's Burnley next. Ivan Toney, I watched the whole game last night, the Tottenham game, and I was not impressed with Toney. To me, he looked like he wasn't fully fit. He did have heavy strapping on one of his legs. At one point, it looked like he might have even tweaked something. So to me, he doesn't look 100%. He was very peripheral, wasn't really in the game, wasn't winning too many of his 50-50s, which he usually does. So it was worrying as a Toney owner. And you know, like I said, I've got him in my starting 11 at the moment for the weekend, but if I could, I'd probably bench him with Antonio and Josh King. I don't really want to play any of my strikers this week. So Toney, probably wouldn't be buying him at the moment. Ollie Watkins, who I mentioned. Then you take your pick of the Watford strikers, which I think are a good investment, even though they've got a difficult fixture this week. Then things get a little bit better. I don't mind Watford with tough fixtures, though, because we've seen it against Chelsea. They go all out attack anyway, so they can score against anyone. And then you've got Pukki, who I think is a pretty decent option as well if you're selling Antonio. 3 goals in 4 on penalties. Use the 2 million saving to invest in a defender or a midfielder. So yeah, Antonio continues to be a headache, continues to be a pain, but very team dependent. I don't mind keeping him because the fixtures are improving. But if you think he is your weakest link and you want to free up a bit of cash, you're probably looking at a Watford forward, Pukki or Ollie Watkins. I think those are probably the best ones. Question from FPL Eldon. Should we be considering the Liverpool double up and finding room for Robertson in a back 4 or a back 5? Yeah, so it's 3 assists in 2 games following the short injury layoff for Robertson. I think he only missed 1 game in the end. But Robertson wasn't having a great season beforehand. He was pretty disappointing, not just FPL-wise, but in a Liverpool shirt as well. And I think that even though it was a very short rest, it seems to have re-energised him. Probably put himself on charge and refresh. And he's looked great in the last 2 games. And that's been reflected in his attack and returns as well. So I think Robertson is an option now. His ownership is only about 2 or 3%, so he's a nice differential. If you're not already tripled up on Liverpool, you've got a decision. You can go Jota or Robertson, you know, assuming you already have Salah and Trent, who I think are the 2 best options. I don't think there's too much between Jota and Robertson, but I still just favour the attacker at the moment. But certainly another option to go if you want to do something different. Question from FPL Mahir. What to do with Brian Mbeumo? Pick him up and throw him as far as you can. He is a nightmare FPL asset. I'm glad I sold him. I think it's 2 game weeks ago now. Again, I watched that Tottenham-Brentford game last night. He's just so frustrating. He always gets chances and he always fluffs them. There was a couple of very decent ones last night, and one in particular, he just blazed it miles over the crossbar. He's got no composure. The only surprise last night was that he didn't hit the woodwork for a change. So yeah, I think you've got to get rid of him. He's a dead asset in your team, really. If you look at his points, it's 2 points or 3 points every week. So I think the cash can be better spent elsewhere. So yeah, definitely time to sell. Next question is from Paradox Peach. Want to transfer out Zaha. Should I go for Bernardo Silva or Mason Mount? So yeah, Zaha, He's not a great asset at the moment. I still think Gallagher is the best pick from Crystal Palace. Would I be looking to sell him if I owned him? I think I probably would be. Zaha's the kind of player, you can always leave him in there and he could get you a 15-pointer, but it's very hard to predict when they're going to come. So yeah, I don't think he's a reliable FPL pick, and I think cash can be better spent. So Bernardo Silva or Mason Mount? I would go Bernardo Silva. I think the fixtures are better for City. I think Bernardo Silva is probably a little bit more secure in terms of game time than Mason Mount. Now, that's a very dangerous thing to say when you're discussing Pep Guardiola and Thomas Tuchel teams, but we have seen Mount kind of been eased back into things after his dental surgery. So Bernardo Silva, 90 minutes, possibly in the last 9 or 10 games. So as nailed as you can be as a Manchester City midfielder. So yeah, Bernardo Silva over Mason Mount for me. And final question for this week is from FPL Roberto. Are you enjoying the fact Salah is almost a perma-captain for most, given you've often said removing captaincy is one thing you would do if you're in charge of FPL? Yeah, I've never been a big fan of captaincy. A lot of the time, I think it adds a lot of luck to the game and variance in any given game week. So I guess I probably do like the fact that captaincy has kind of been taken out of the game, because you can't really get it wrong this season, because whether Salah does well or doesn't do well, everyone's in the same boat, so you kind of rise or fall together. So yeah, I think I probably am liking that fact, but on the flip side, it's very, very boring. You know, I post my team on Twitter just, you know, a minute or two after the deadline every week, and I always have a quick look at other people who are posting their team as well just after the deadline passes, and it's very, very... It gets me down, really, looking at other teams this season, because every single team is the same. You know, you've got 8 or 9 players the same. Lots of the time you're seeing starting 11s that are exactly the same. You know, 11 players, same captain. So hopefully things change soon, because it's, especially if, you know, if you're trying to make up ground, it's very difficult. You know, the template has been so strong so far this season. It's, if you do something different, you get punished every time. Like Salah again this week, if you captain someone else, Salah hurt you again. So hopefully Salah does slow down and some other captaincy candidates emerge, because I don't want to just captain Salah all season. I don't think anyone wants to do that, because the game is more fun when game week scores are different. You know what I mean? I look at my mini leagues again this week and everyone's scoring within 10 points of each other there or thereabouts. So we need a bit of a shake-up. And hopefully that will come soon. And hopefully before long, we'll be captaining someone else. Obviously, Salah's going to go to African Cup of Nations, which is good, because that will force us to do things differently. So yeah, that African Cup of Nations is probably a blessing in disguise for this season, to break up the current template and force us to go down a few different routes.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Game week 15 captaincy now. Again, very brief conversation, because I think Mohamed Salah is the best one to go for. He plays Wolves away. Wolves have been pretty tight defensively recently, but Salah is probably the best player in the world at the moment, and it's very, very dangerous to go against him, as we've seen so often this season. And I just think when a player almost guarantees you points every week, even if it's only an assist or only one goal, take those 3 points and run, because think back to previous seasons, how often does your captain blank? Sometimes it's a very high percentage of the time. I think Salah might only have blanked once this season. So yeah, 3 points basically. So just take them and look to make your gains elsewhere. If you are someone who wants to captain someone else, Tottenham against Norwich is a decent fixture. Although watching Tottenham last night, I wouldn't be in a rush to captain them. And I think Norwich are improved under Dean Smith also. So that's another reason why I wouldn't captain Kane or Son. Manchester City play Watford, which I think could have goals for both teams. So if you fancy captaining a Man City player, but then I think Bernardo Silva, I think it's enough to own him. I don't think you need to captain him. And then Foden and Gundogan, you can't be sure that they're going to start. So everything again points back to Mohamed Salah. If you own Cristiano Ronaldo against Crystal Palace, if he continues his form, if he's fit to start, you know, if he's caught his breath now, maybe he's a good captaincy option. And I had Rafinha on my matrix as well from the start of the season for this game week against Brentford. But again, I think we were fortunate to get those Rafinha points midweek, and I don't think I trust him with the captaincy. Not that I don't trust him, it's just that I don't trust Leeds fully. So yeah, Mohamed Salah captain for me this week, absolutely no doubt about that. In terms of transfers, I've got one free transfer. I'm happy with my squad, so I'm planning to save it. So I'm looking at a 5-4-1 formation with Antonio and Josh King on the bench because they've got tough fixtures. That will see me set up with Ramsdale, Trent, Cancelo, James, hopefully, Alonso and Livramento as a back five, Salah captain, Jota, Son and Rafinha, and reluctantly, Ivan Toney up front. That's the pod for Game Week 15. If you enjoyed it and would like to support me as a full-time FPL content creator, please check out patreon.com/FPLgeneral. Best of luck for the game week. I'll be back on Tuesday to preview game week 16. We're not far away from the halfway point in the season. Talk to you soon.
The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.